Hey everyone, welcome back to Deeper Than Dough. Today I have an awesome guest, Jordan Edwards. And in this episode, we dive into why so many ambitious men struggle to find real community, how to actually live with intention, and why waiting for the perfect time is holding you back. Trust me, you'll get some solid takeaways from this one. And hey, before we jump in, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this with someone who needs to hear it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Deeper Than Dough. I have Jordan Edwards as my guest today. Jordan, welcome.
Thank you for having me on, Bennett.
I love all of my guests, obviously, right? But when I look at the calendar, like today, I'm like, man, I got so many freaking meetings. I really want to do podcasts. And I saw it was you. I'm like, oh, I was on your podcast and you're the easiest guy in the world to talk to. So tell me about your background and the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way the podcast started, it was really interesting. It was back in 2020. COVID was happening. I was doing 75 hard. Have you heard of 75 hard before?
Yeah, I got through 4 days. I did four days hard.
Yeah, so I was doing 75 hard, which is basically no alcohol, two workouts, all the stuff. And me and my buddy, we're like, what are we going to do on Saturday? And we ended up going to the Naples airplane show. And at the show, they have this museum, and it's a World War II museum, and it's a very small airport. And we start talking to the guy, and he goes, you should read about Wayne Ogden Smith. So I start reading about Wayne. Wayne was a prisoner of war for 7 years. And I told Wayne, I go, this is incredible. This guy sounds amazing. And he goes, this guy's me. And I was like, wow. Can I have a podcast right now? Can we start interviewing? I didn't have a podcast at the time. But my whole point here is that whenever you have that inclination, you have to go for it. And now we've done over 200 plus episodes, obviously having Bennett on. And it's been an incredible ride meeting some amazing people.
That's awesome. That's such a cool story on how to start the podcast too. You're like, yeah, let me interview you right now. So, I mean, what'd you do? Just pull out your phone?
I literally pulled out my phone. We didn't have any video recording. We talked for about 15 minutes. And then he goes, Jordan, I actually have a job. Like, I need to work. So he's like, come back to Naples tomorrow. Or come back next week. So we ended up going back the next weekend. And literally all we did was pass the phone around. It was me, my buddy, and Wayne. And we just, that's all we did. There was no video. There's no thing. So nothing ever has to be perfect. We all sit there and go, it's got to be amazing. And it just doesn't have to be that way.
It's so funny. So I sold Dirty Dough to, you know, a larger corporation. And I'm like, yeah, the same thing. I'm like, let's just get videos out. Like, I'll record them today. I'll get the scripts today. I got ChatGPT. And they're like, oh no, because they have to be. Anyways, a month goes by. And I'm like, we don't have anything. I could have put out content, shitty content, got feedback, adjusted it, put it out again, got feedback, yeah, and then put it out again. All that by the time you just put out one freaking video. So I'm very much like, just start, just go, fail quick, start quick. But maybe that's because we're ADHD. I don't know. Type A personality.
I think the benefit there of just starting is you have to realize that no one's going to see it. And that's cool. And if people see it, then you're doing something good. And you have to start to realize that you're never going to get better without reps. And in that corporate environment, they're very much, we have to be perfect. It has to be on brand. And it's like, how are we going to get results if we're doing one when other people are doing 100?
Yeah.
We're not going to get the same results.
No, I love that. Okay, so podcast. What else? Give us a little bit more of your background outside of the podcast world.
Yeah, so back in 2019, I actually started coaching, men's coaching. And the reason I started doing that was because I realized I actually went to a conference, which is one of the biggest benefits, I think, for everyone, is to get outside of your environment. Go to a different environment, see how they're doing. And everybody was in sales. Mm-hmm. Wow, I have to learn sales. I have to sell something of value. So I started helping people out with financial literacy, and I started creating these different rules and ways to live my life and how to live intentionally. And I started with these five pillars, which are physical health, community service, philanthropy, spirituality, and relationships. And I realized that if I was excelling in those five pillars, I'd have an incredible life. And I started bringing that to my clients, and then we started making groups. So now I run two men's groups, and we meet on Monday nights and Thursday mornings, and we have deep, deep conversations. Because what I've realized is a lot of ambitious men are struggling. Like, they might be the best in their friend group, they might be the best in their area, but they don't have a peer group. And I think every person really needs a peer group.
Yeah, last summer I threw a post out, and I'm like, hey, if anybody wants to go to the gym and hang out, let's do it, right? And I'm still literally going through that same list of people still going to the gym 6 months later. But two of the guys that I met, psychedelics came up. I mean, that's because I brought it up, right? Acting like they brought up. No, it was psychedelics. Two guys that I met, one of them has been divorced twice. He's like 32 years old, has his kids 50% of the time, two kids. The other one, business owner, also divorced, moved here for his wife, got a divorce. Now he's kind of alone. It's been like a year and a half in a business that he thinks they're committing fraud, blah, blah. And it's like, the guy hits me up all the time. He's like, I really want to experience like a psychedelic, like healing journey. And then finally I'm like, okay, he's hitting me up because he literally doesn't have anybody else. Like I know this guy once or twice from the gym. And then I invite that other guy. And we actually had like a really, really cool experience last week, but it opened my eyes to like, I've actually never experienced that in my life. I come from one of nine kids, you know, a million. I have a group of 11 guys that most of us went to elementary school together, and we played Fortnite last night. You know what I mean? And it's so eye-opening to me that that is such a big need. How did you uncover that need? Was it starting to dive into the men's group and then you're like, okay, there's a big need? Or did you have other personal experiences that opened your mind to it?
Yeah. So it started happening for me. I went to University of Tampa. I graduated and everyone goes their own directions, right? After college, everyone's doing their own things. And I would meet up with these people at bars and I thought we were having deep conversations, but they were so surface level. And when I would try to do anything else, it would never advance that way. And the biggest issue I found is that people aren't supporting each other unconditionally. So Bennett, if you came to the group and you shared a story where you're like, I just sold a business or I just did a new PR, we're told to not share those experiences because we don't want to belittle other people. And I think what the truth is we need a group of people that you can say, hey, I just sold my business. Hey, I just got a huge bonus. Hey, I just did this amazing thing, and have empowering win, because there's so many of those wins that we have to keep so quiet and to ourselves, because if we share with someone else, it might offend them or it might do this or that. And just to add a tip on, I actually recently started in December. I had a birthday and I had a birthday dinner, and we went to this place and it was nice and it was easy. And I realized, I was like, why do I have to have a birthday dinner to meet up with my friends? So in January, I called it a friendship dinner. It sounds a little lame, and it sounds a little corny, but there's that list of like 10 or 15 people that you always want to hang out with, but you can't because you have a family or you have life.
Yeah.
But if you put the dinner on the calendar 3 weeks in advance, you can get a 10, 20 person dinner going. And it's a very fun community because people are intermingling. You have your friends. And I would highly recommend that activity, especially if you're the provider of that. It allows your relationships to go so much deeper because they view you as an asset.
I was going to say, and it comes down to what you said, I think, like putting on the calendar. So again, we've had this, I mentioned the friend group, I would say like 7 or 8 of us Orm Elementary. And then there's like 2 or 3 that trickled in junior high, and we tell them that they're not our true friends, you know? And then we all went to high school together. Most of us went to college together. Every other Friday we have lunch at noon, and we've been doing it for a year. And then once a month, and we rotate, you know, who's planning it. But once a month, it's like a Wednesday or Thursday night. It's a hangout, like a dodgeball at church was last month. And it was a blast, you know? But I love that. So, but I'm also thinking like, do people know 20 people to invite to dinner? Like, how do you get a part? I mean, you don't need 20 people, right? You need 3 people, but is there any advice that you're like, okay, I'm in a new city. Maybe that guy that I did mushrooms with, right? How does he go and build these connections?
I think you have to put yourself out there. And I think a lot of the time, like Bennett, for you, you have solidified relationships, which is very empowering. You know what I mean? But to someone who doesn't know anyone, that can be a little intimidating. So what I recommend is usually going out to different activities. So yes, you can accept Bennett and go work out with Bennett, but that's a one-on-one. What if you go join a run club? What if you join a church? What if you join all these different activities? Then you start to make friends around. And like we made friends recently, like other couple friends recently, and they were just eating dinner next to us. We didn't know them. We didn't invite them, but we just started talking with them and we're like, oh, we should go out to dinner. And now you have different friends. But if you don't, you have to put yourself out there and be friendly. And it's not weird to speak to people. It's not weird to talk to people.
Not at all.
But if Yeah, and a lot of people view it that way because they're like, no, they're too busy. They don't want to hang out with me. They don't want to do this. But in reality, everyone wants to do fun things. Everyone wants to enjoy their life.
So and everybody likes talking. You know, like yes. Everybody likes that connection. I've seen like studies showing even if you have meaningless conversations with people at the grocery store, that increases your happiness levels. But if you take surveys beforehand, everybody thinks that that'll decrease their happiness levels. So the perception is completely wrong. You just have to kind of get over that hump and just, you know, kind of go for it. And I've made a conscious effort to do that for years. And I'm like, I went to Disneyland last month with my kids, and I kid you not, we're at in the line with Space Mountain, and I make a, you know, we've already made like a million friends. People are giving my kids like Disneyland pins. But one guy, you know, we're talking with in the line, and he lives down the street from me in Utah. The next week, we go to the gym together. You know what I mean? But it was like, we met out in freaking Disneyland, and we're going to the gym. Just because I'm using that as, again, like, I know I don't want to talk to this person a lot of times, and I'm recognizing that. And I'm going to say, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because studies show, and my personal experience, like, when I talk to people, I do get energized, and it helps me. And it's just breaking out of that shell. And another thing I wanted to mention was for a few classes or a few tips on finding more groups, because you mentioned a lot of good ones. I have been doing like jujitsu for, I don't know, 3-4 months. Okay. But yeah, there's like you're learning jujitsu. That's fun. But aside from that, it's you're meeting a million people. So last night before I leave, I'm trying to, anybody who haven't met yet, I'm shaking their hand. Oh, what's your name? Yes. Nice to meet you. And I kid you not, like I've only gone 10 times, but I know 20 people by name and I have their phone numbers but other people that came after me didn't make that effort. So it really does just come down to the effort.
Yes, 100%. And the other big thing is I had a call with the men's group last night and we talked about the four levels of listening. So level one is when someone talks and they interrupt. Level two is when you listen to someone, but you're listening just to answer your side. And then level three is when you're actively listening and you're listening to actually help them and provide them value. And then level four is listening to hear their problems and listen to the problems that aren't being said. So my point of the four levels is that it's so important for us to realize that if we can be genuinely interested in others, others will attract to us. It's not Bennett runs around or Jordan runs around and just goes, I'm the best. Talk to me. Yeah. And it's like, no. You have to be genuinely interested in other people. And that's what captivates people to wanting to be interested in you.
Yeah. And without thinking too much about this, I felt like probably the first time, at least in the last handful of years as a business owner, there's always an agenda when I'm meeting with somebody, whether it's my agenda or their agenda, right? But there's always an agenda in it. And I usually have my own agenda. Like every time I got my agenda, like this is what I want to accomplish. I sell a company. I'm going to the gym with people. I'm no longer looking for capital. I'm not trying to sell franchise. I'm not trying to do anything. I just got to get to know people. And then that helped me develop what I want to do next, which is the sales, because it's just all these random business owners telling me what they're doing. And my mind's just turning, oh, this is how you should position the sales. This is how you, and I start building it out for a few of them, you know, just for free, for fun. And then I'm like, that's what I like to do. Anyway, so a lot of it was just, I love that. I've never heard those four levels of listening. And I'm like, I think for the first time I might be dipping into the third level and actually putting myself, my own agendas aside as I listen, which is kind of cool.
Which is amazing. Cause then you start to truly understand people and actually be able to help them. Because when we sit there and we think about just what's in it for me and what can I get out of this, you're never there to hear the entire story. Like Bennett doesn't go and help people randomly and not figure out something new. You know what I mean? Because you're giving them space and you're leaving space to learn about all these different perspectives. You're learning about their business. You're learning about how they're running sales. You're seeing what's working, what's not working without you having to do the actual work of them doing the sales. So you're getting more data points, but exactly. It's super important. It's super, super important.
Before you talked about having deep conversations and this got brought up actually last week with those same guys. Cause I'm like, you actually, you know, you need deep relationships, but there's so many people and only so much time. And we started talking about, well, it's not about the quantity of time and you don't need to see somebody every week or even every year, right? We all have relationships that maybe we're not seeing them. So what makes those deep relationships so strong that I'm only seeing somebody once every year or so versus every week, making those relationships deeper. And I think it's the conversations, right? So yes. When you say deep conversations, what is that? You mentioned, you know, sharing wins, talking about finances. What else are we talking here?
Yeah. So the group dynamic I've created over the last 4 or 5 years, there's a framework to it. And the way it goes is we start off with who we are and a fun fact. If there's new people on the call or if there isn't, kind of have a similar conversation. Then we start off with a win. So it might be anything exciting in their life, anything good in their life that's happened in the past week. And then we dive into accountability if they were on the previous week. And then we talk about two different topics. So those topics can be any wide ranging. So last night it was the levels of listening. And then we talked about the different perspectives. So the different perspectives, the way that works is we were talking about our own perspective, our past perspective, our future perspective, and then our far future perspective, and which one of these aids us the most and which is the most beneficial for us. So that was just its own conversation. And then we close out the conversation with greatest benefit of this conversation, action step, and gratitude. So whenever you have a conversation with someone, you could always start off with what's a win they might have. And then what, and then after you have that deep conversation, what's the greatest benefit that they got from that? Because then you're learning what that person actually appreciated. And we miss that 99% of the time.
I like that. I love that. So what are the main changes that men in your group are seeing or that you're hoping that they'll receive as they go through the program, the group, the camaraderie?
Yeah. So the major changes are to realize that you're in control of your life and you can create whatever life you desire. And by that, I mean, last year, me and my fiance at the time, but now we got married, we were able to travel around Europe for 7 weeks while working. And it's not an easy feat to do, but it's a cool thing. And I say that and you smiled right away and you start to realize because it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I want to do that. Like, people start to realize these things, but the more intentionally we live our life, the more optimal our experience gets to be. Like, Bennett, I've seen you've been doing the dance classes recently.
Yeah,
that's exciting. That's exciting because I came on and I'm like, dude, this is great for my relationship. You got to try this out. And you started doing it. And I love that. And it's just the more intentional we live our life, the more we're able to realize that we can create whatever we desire and whatever we want. But the key is that we need a plan. And then that's what basically the group calls our planning kind of reflection. And then during the week, you're taking action on these goals. So you're moving towards whatever the goal is for you. Because if we don't have the action, we just sit in planning all day long. Nothing really gets done.
Okay, I'm going to make a slight tweak to what you said, and you tell me if you agree with it. You said you can control your life, or you are in control of your life. I would say you can control your life. My big focus in the last however long has been, I guess, the difference in planning or conscious and impulsion. Like, am I showering and going to the bathroom and getting a drink at the same time because am I actually thinking about it, or is it just muscle memory and I'm just, you know, a product of my environment? And I think most people, most of the time, are just a product of their environment. They're not in control of their lives. They can be, but they're not present enough. Would you agree with that? Well, let me add one more thing. And I would say the indicator, because a lot of people are like, no, I'm present, you know. Okay, can you control your thoughts? I think if you can't control your thoughts, if you can't turn off your thoughts, whatever, at least for some sort of degree of time, you're not in control of your life. Because how can you? Your thoughts control your emotions, and then the mixture between emotions and thoughts then control your actions. And then it's just kind of on repeat every day because we just have the same thoughts, unless you break free from that through planning, or I would say consciousness or conscious planning, right? But what is your feedback on that?
I mean, it's very interesting you brought that up because recently, so in the beginning of January, I started telling, I wanted to read more. So I was like, Jordan, if you want to read more, and this is a good thing for anyone, if you want to read more, whatever you want to accomplish, bring it down to the lowest daily discipline. So the lowest daily discipline for reading is read one page of the book. Like, just get one action towards the goal. But what I was going to get at was you're bringing up intention. Like, intentionality is so important, and like the intention of what you're trying to accomplish. So I'm coming on this podcast. What is the intention that I want to convey to the audience? What's the intention that I want to convey to Bennett? I would 1000% agree with what you said, because most people are not actively looking and creating opportunities for themselves because they're just not intentional with what's going on. They're like, oh, this person said something mean to me. I'm going to have a terrible day. It's like, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. You get to decide the day you want, and you get to create whatever day you want for yourself, which I think is so important. Or as you would say, you can create whatever day you want for yourself.
You can. I mean, I just look back at my whole life and I'm like, okay, I'm having a lot of moments that I am present now. But like, what about the first 25 years of my life or 28 years? Like, did I really plan anything? Was I just going? You know, like I was just doing the same things. And I think, you know, a lot of people can.
What do you think the big change was? What do you think the big change?
Focusing on consciousness, starting to focus on thoughts. It started about 3 years ago when I took mushrooms. Just F me up, dude. Like, holy crap, there's another world out there. I felt terrible on mushrooms, like the worst I've ever felt. And that fascinated me. You know, like, why would something grow from the earth? Anyways, but that was kind of the trigger on like, wow, my psyche is very unstable. If I could take a little mushroom, and I'm so uncomfortable because I've lost control. And that kind of set me down that path. And then, you know, 3 years later, 120 pounds later, and another business grown and sold later, I'm like, yeah, this is the right path, at least comparatively speaking to what I was doing before. Like, it's working a lot more.
Have you spoken to Paul Austin?
Yes. Psychedelic guy. Yeah, I had him on my podcast. Yes.
I had him on the podcast, and he's like, dude, no one allows me on the podcast. He's like, he was just so grateful for the opportunity, because he's like, dude, I get rejected so often because it's like psychedelics with CEOs. And he's like, dude, it's so powerful because most CEOs want to be in so much control, and they don't need the control. They need to relinquish the control. So it's such an eye-opening thing. So I'm not surprised that you felt that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of what saved me about this time last year, when I was like, man, this is so stressful. I've kind of signed the keys over to another management group, but my name's still on everything as far as like millions in debts and leases and everything. And it was just like, am I going to go bankrupt or am I going to succeed? And it was that feeling every day. But I think that, you know, 2 years of prep allowed me to have at least enough foundation to just, you know, barely squeeze by alive. And I'm like, okay.
Bennett, I think you're bringing up a very, very valuable point for the audience to realize that when you push yourself through these challenging conditions, like I ran 2 marathons, I go to the gym each morning, and everyone's like, why would you go to the gym in the morning? And it's like, dude, good, just because it's better. It's early, it's challenging, it's better. But the point is, the more times you internally stress yourself out, like in a positive way, by doing like mushrooms or working out or challenging yourself in any capacity, then you start to become more and more confident when these real challenging periods come up in your life, and you're like, I've been ready for this. I was prepping for this. I've been prepared. So I think that's so important, that what you brought up right there.
Yeah. I mean, you can be comfortable in all times. Going back to the control. Okay. If you can control your thoughts, and I mean, I'm not saying that I can, but I've read it enough people that I think that it's possible, you know, like you can have a yogi guy that I follow, Sadhguru, you know, he's like, if you could control your emotions, wouldn't you control that you're blissed out? And he's like an 80-year-old Indian guy, blissed out 100% of the time. That's how I've lived my entire life, you know? And I'm like, okay, cool. There is a lot more to get there. But yes, I do agree. You go through those stressors where you get comfortable in uncomfortable times. Like my resistance, I'm labeling it. I mean, I'm saying a resistance, but like last night I'm going to jujitsu. I'm like, I don't really want to go today. I'm sore. I already did yoga this morning. I already did the sauna. Like, I'm good. And then I'm like, but why don't I want to go? So, you know, and then I'm analyzing that. Where's the resistance? Well, I don't want to go because there's still new people. You have to get a new partner. Are they bigger than you? Are they smaller than you? I'm stronger than most guys. I know wrestling, and I'm a little spazzy still, you know. I don't like sitting on guys all the time. You know, like it's jujitsu. You're in like uncomfortable sexual positions half the time. Like, do I want to go do this with random people? And then when I labeled it as, oh, that's just a bunch of made up bull crap in my head. Like, who cares about all of that? Yeah. At the end of the day, I could go to jiu-jitsu and have a terrible experience, whatever, and I could never go back and my life's the same, right? Like, yeah. There's not much at risk. But realizing like, okay, this is what I want to do, and then analyzing, or I guess resistance to something you should be doing or want to do. Yeah. But just analyzing really, why am I not wanting to do that? And then if I can say, well, I could be comfortable doing that, then you're slowly expanding your level of comfort, and you should be able to expand it completely. So you don't have any more walls of comfort. You're comfortable with any emotion, any life event at any time.
That's I think we've talked about this in the group as well, but I think it's super valuable. It's kind of what you're also bringing up is like, dude, you're new at the sport. Like 10 times isn't doing it a whole bunch. So I remember when I started doing Muay Thai, and it was the first time I went, and I was like, dude, what? They're punching each other. Like, this is crazy. Why are they doing this? And then after like a few months, you start to get more and more comfortable. And after a year, you're like, okay, I feel good about this. I'm confident in what I'm doing. So my point being is the benefits of putting yourself in that beginner stage over and over and over again is so valuable, regardless if it's in business or out of business, because there's so many of us that just miss the ball. We go, yeah. I'm an expert at accounting, or I'm an expert at doing this. And we never explore our horizons and realize we might love eating cookie dough. We might love selling, like doing whatever. We don't give ourselves that opportunity. And I think that's one of the biggest fallacies. So like, as you're going through this, you guys have a lot of time. You have a lot of experiences. It's so important to try out new things every once in a while. Go to a new workout class, travel to a destination you don't know, do something different, make a new friend, because you never know where that's going to take you. It might take you on an incredible trip. You don't ever know. Yeah.
I mean, and in general, again, from my frame of reference, like I'm looking at that, that's breaking your compulsive cycles. Like yes. What you do every single day, again, you're not really planning it. You analyze your thoughts, 95% of them are the same as the day before. So 95% of your emotions are the same, and your actions. And then you're like, man, it's been 5 years. Why isn't anything changing? And you're like, well, because your thoughts, emotions, and actions haven't changed, right?
Yes.
Everybody else is kind of waiting around that. As you dive into new things though, most people probably heard about Pareto's principle, the 80-20 principle, right? 80% of your results are going to come from 20% of the effort. So like, let's put that in Muay Thai. Like if I'm going to go to Muay Thai for a whole year, maybe I only go for 20% of the year, right? If I go for 20% of the year, 2.5 months, I'm probably going to learn 80% of what I was going to learn that entire year. And I've already experienced that with my 10 jiu-jitsu classes or 12, whatever, because I already had the wrestling and I'm like, oh wow, with 12 jiu-jitsu classes or 10 and a wrestling background, like I could go tap out people that have been doing it for a few years, right? Because you just make those little tweaks at the first. So for me, realizing, okay, if I jump into this, even if I don't like it, learning's front loaded, right? I'm going to learn so much information.
I was going to say, dude, you get to that. Yes. There's that level of expert and master, but that just takes longer and longer to get there. But a lot of people can get to a 6, 7, 8 relatively quickly. Like you said, they might not be that 9 or that 9.99 or 9.999, but they can get themselves a little bit closer to that, which I think is, regardless, it's important to continue building skills. There's so many of us that don't view skill acquisition. And that's one thing I talk about the group. We meet each quarter and we talk about the importance of realizing that we are not our jobs, we are not our roles, we are not the things we do, but we're actually the person who's building different skill sets. And as you build those skill sets, you can keep bringing those tools in your chest because you will never lose those. So it's so important to have those tools.
How did you get onto that mindset? And I'm sure that mindset led you into coaching, but where did that first come about?
The skill set acquisition?
Yeah. Like, because I did the same thing. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, work to learn, not to earn. I jumped companies every year in every industry because I was applying that 80-20. But that came from Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? For you, where did it come from?
So this was super interesting. So I actually had a podcast, which I think you know the guy, because I've known about this for a while, but do you know Steve Merrill?
I don't think so.
Okay. Maybe. So Steve runs this company called Working Digital. And what he talked about, because he ended up coming on the podcast and then he spoke to the group. And what he was saying was, he's like, he was this guy, he ended up running a business and then he jumped to a different business and now he's doing marketing. And I was sitting there realizing, I was like, dude, this guy never, he was never in that original business. He was actually the marketing. That's all he was doing. He was doing the marketing and now he's doing that again. So it's all skill acquisition. So once I came to that principle, I was like, wow, this has nothing to do with the job we have. Like, it's all about the skills we develop. And whatever those hard skills or soft skills might be, they are so valuable. And it's, if you could become intentional about those skills that you want to build over and over and over again, oh, dude, you're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. And most people, it's just, like you said, aimlessly walking around. They're not intentional about the actions that they're trying to create.
Yeah. So, and then, okay, I love that. Because obviously I'm like so sold on that. Now, how does that relate to like your journey into coaching? Or did you, or were you already coaching at that point?
To that point, I was already coaching, but
yeah, because was it 2019?
Yeah. So for the journey into coaching, what ended up happening was I went to a conference and I realized that I was getting around people. I went to the Grant Cardone conference in Miami, and there was like, this was right out of college. I was like, what are these people doing? There's so many people are running around the stadium. Everyone's trying to sell something. And I'm like, I got to sell something. I can't just sit here and be a consumer. I got to start selling something. So I started helping people out with financial literacy. And then I started getting into this idea of like a 5-year vision, a 1-year vision, mental health, physical health, community service, philanthropy, spirituality, and relationships. And realizing that if we don't live intentionally, we won't be able to create the lives that we desire. So I started getting clients that way. And then I learned about the group coaching model. And I started putting people into these groups where we could have even deeper conversations, because it wasn't just me who's important. It's not the person who's important, but it's all the perspectives that we're pulling from left, right, and center, where now you have all these driven people, all in different industries, all sharing their successes. And you're like, wow, that's a profound conversation. I really enjoyed something like that. And I got a lot of value from that. So that's why I think it's so important to, if it's not this group, there's other groups, but find a group where you can get differing perspectives. And I do this on Zoom, and it's always been such a benefit for me, because it's like I lead the group, which I enjoy, but I also get to learn each and every time I'm having the conversations, because people answer in ways that you never expect.
Yeah. And you need, I mean, you be intentional, right? And we talked about like being present and the consciousness and like having a plan. Otherwise, you're just on autopilot. So how do you do that? And that's where it's like, well, how did I do it? I guess right before mushrooms, the thing that I started with was therapy, like just talk therapy, right? And that's a coach.
Yeah,
they're coaching me on how to think and plan my life that I just don't otherwise do. Like this morning, I did some meditation, and it's like, you know, plan the emotions you want to feel today. And I'm like, I've literally never done that in my life. But why? Like, does it work? I don't know if it works. I'll tell you. Yeah. But there's all these things that I just my mission statement, which is really, I think really helped grow Dirty Dough. And now, you know, I'm transitioning. How'd I develop that? I hired a coach because I thought mission statements were stupid. I also thought coaches were stupid until I started getting into it. I'm like, no, I'm just stupid. I make the most progress when I can have an outside perspective help me or make me be intentional, because otherwise I'm just doing the same old, same old.
Yes. And that wake up is so important. And what really, when I started thinking back on it, what really got me there was in 2018 going into 2019, what I realized was people had these New Year's resolutions, and I was hearing New Year's resolutions die in 21 days or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And I go, why do I need a resolution? I need to just have a goal and hold myself accountable. So I set 3 goals for myself. One was to start a business. One was to run a marathon. And one was to complete all 4 sections of the CPA, because I graduated with an accounting degree. So I started doing that, and I realized pretty quickly, I was like, dude, I don't want to do the CPA thing. Like, this is awful. So I literally failed a couple sections of it, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. So my point is that it's okay to fail. I was able to start the business, which I'm still doing now. And I did run the marathon. I ran the Lake Tahoe marathon. So I share that just because it's so important to hold yourself accountable. And if you have trouble doing that, like most do, you could hire someone to hold you accountable and coach you up and offer those differing perspectives of over 200 podcasts and 200 episodes interviewing people like the founder of Reebok and billionaire Jeff Hoffman. So it's like, you have to get around these people in some sort of way.
Yes. I love that.
And you got to have someone who's actually had real perspectives and really accomplished things. And that might be through interviews, that might be through business, that might be through whatever. But the more perspectives you get, that's really the goal, is to figure out who you are and who you want to be and be able to hold yourself accountable to what you want to accomplish.
Yeah, I look at coaching. I mean, it's self-care, right? For your mentality. So going back to what you asked me, like what has been the change? I'm like, okay, therapy, like mushrooms really expanded it, but mushrooms exposed all of my issues and my doubts. And that forced me to do self-care. And then diving into self-care is really what led into me getting a coach, which has been super, super invaluable. So anyways, love that whole journey. I really appreciate you sharing that. Thanks for jumping on. How can our listeners connect with you, learn more about your podcast, learn more about your coaching, everything else you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So for you, Bennett, I wanted to give them the podcast is on YouTube. It's hashtag Clocked In with Jordan Edwards. You can find it there. I also want to give you guys a complimentary coaching call. So we'll put in the Calendly link if you want to book a call. And then if you guys want to shoot me an email, it's jordan@edwards.consulting. And you can just shoot me an email and I'd love to hear what you got value out of, and maybe we can conversate. That'd be awesome.
I love that. Thank you. Tell me about the coaching call though, just to get it, you know, I look at it, I'm like, a free coaching call, who would not get that? But at the same time, I'm like, you know, people might be a little hesitant. Can you explain kind of what that coaching strategy would be like on that first call?
Yeah. So in the complimentary coach call is they share a little bit about themselves. Then I provide some value. And we kind of talk about what your five-year vision is, what you want to look, what your life to look back like, what's holding you back. And then I share a little bit about what I'm up to. And then I see if we can collaborate in some sort of way. Because the thing is with coaching is you got to make sure you're a fit for both sides. If both sides aren't a fit, it's not a work. So I think it's so important to have an intro call just to see what people are up to and what they don't do. But I always make sure that everyone gets a ton of value. Because if I can change your framework just one degree, that can change the trajectory of your life. So I think it's so important to do that. And I always try to impart that every time I have a coaching call with anyone.
Okay. I love that. Thanks for expounding on that and exactly kind of where I want it to go. Like, okay, so if I do this coaching call and for whatever reason, I don't jump into the program just yet, I'm still getting massive amounts of value. I'm still setting up, I'm still verbalizing what I want for myself, which I probably haven't ever done or haven't done in a while, right? Because somebody, a coach, a professional coach, is taking that out of me and getting those ideas and expanding my vision to what I actually want for 5 years. So either way, you're getting massive amounts of value. And that's awesome that you're giving us that offer. So Jordan, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bennett. I appreciate it.